What I have on my heart this morning, amen, there's a purpose. I preached on this. I've never preached on it here. There's a purpose for you. Amen. There's a purpose for me. Amen. And somehow or another, we got to find that purpose that God has for us. And if we can get to that and be able to do something to give Him honor and glory, to lift Him up, because that's really all of us' purpose. That's your purpose. The leap of faith, doing the quip, that's what you're doing. I want to tell you, you're doing something there. Everybody, me and my wife here a while back, we was talking and we were sitting out there in the back. We've got a couple of chairs we sit together in the evening time, sometimes after dark, and we'll sit there and talk. And I was talking about all the things I'd done when I was younger, and I'm thinking, how in the world did I get to here? I mean, how did I live to get to here? And He had a purpose. And someday that purpose is going to be over, and I may just fall over with a heart attack after all the things I've been through. I don't know, but He had a purpose. And He's got a purpose in you. He's got a reason that you was born. Everybody, there's a purpose for them. And listen to me today. If we'll find what His purpose is for us, then we can find contentment. We can find happiness. I never had been happy in my life. All my life, I was always looking for something. I had peace with God. I got saved as a 14-year-old boy, but I tried to find happiness in a car. I tried to find happiness in a new four-wheeler. I tried to find happiness in a gun. I tried to find happiness in being a golfer. I tried to find happiness in coon hunting. I tried to find happiness in all these things. I never did find no happiness in none of it until I finally got willing to be what God wanted me to be. And then I was scared to death. So I done it out of fear for 3 or 4 years, trying to do what He'd had me to do, do my purpose. But I stand in front of you today and tell you there's nothing I'd rather do. As much stress as I get out of it, and this week I'll be stressed out. I've done been praying, please, Lord, let me enjoy this revival, not get so stressed out. Let me be able to feel Your Spirit and just enjoy the preaching and the testifying, not get so stressed out about it. But I know I will. I know I will. But I don't want to. I just want to be able to enjoy what God has done for me. Amen. And what His purpose is in my life. Amen. So, y'all please pray for me a little while. We arranged my glasses somewhere. There they are. But definitely need the Lord. I want to read the Apostle Paul's testimony to King Agrippa. For this purpose is my thought. And I pray today that you'd understand you're here for a reason. You wasn't an accident. I hear people say I was an accident. My mom and daddy weren't planning me. I want you to know there's never been no accidents when it comes to God. God has a purpose for everyone. And I don't believe no one's ever. He's not a respecter of person. So you might say, I just don't look like a preacher. I don't look like a piano player. I'm not this. I'm not that. I can't do that. Listen to me. I can't do nothing without God. But with God, we can do all things. So listen what it says here. Whereupon who, as I went to Damascus, this is the 26th chapter of Acts, in the 12th verse, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and a commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but rise and stand upon thy feet, and I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both to these things which thou hast seen, of those things in which I will appear unto thee, and deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles, and whom now I send thee, and to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but shewed first unto them of Damascus and to Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, and they should repent and turn to God and do the works meet for repentance. And the mistakes we made reading, that's down to the 20th verse. And we done told you what our thought is. He said, I, for this purpose, to make you a minister. And so the Apostle Paul was saved on the road to Damascus and called to preach there too. So God had a purpose for him. And I think about all the ones that the Apostle Paul reached. Not only as he walked with Jesus then and preached the gospel, but through the letters Jesus inspired him to write, through the Holy Spirit, we've all been touched by the Apostle Paul and the purpose that he had for him. And it says over in Romans, Paul said there in 8 and 28, and when I preached on this before, I've never used this verse very little, because I want you to know, just because you're so I've not been called to do this or called to do that. If you've been saved by God's grace, you've been called to repentance. But also, I believe in all my heart, and one of the reasons I hadn't used this much, God has a purpose for everyone. From your mother's womb, when he creates you, and I believe we're all fearfully and wonderfully made. So he makes every one of us, just as he made Adam, and he made Eve, he made Barry, and he made Dusty, he made Jeff Likens, and he made you. And he made every one of us for a purpose. But Romans 8:28, very familiar, said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. So for this purpose, I want you to realize today, there's a purpose for you. Children, you're sitting there, I don't fit in nowhere. I don't know how I'll ever be able to do what God would have me to do. He has a purpose for you today. I look around here, and I saw Sam was out there yesterday, and I said, I see you being a deacon someday at Hill Top Church. He said, thanks a lot. But listen to me. That's what I see, son. I see preachers sitting here. I see deacons sitting here. I see piano players sitting over here. Song leaders sitting out there. I see things. I know God has something for you. Each and every one of you, I know he has a work for you, and he will use you if you let him. You won the accident. You may not fit in nowhere in this whole world. And if you're a child of God, I'll tell you right now, you won't. You can go out yonder and you can try to party and you try to do all these things. You'll never fit in. The only place you'll ever fit in, just like the prodigal son, is with the Father and his people. That's where you'll fit in. I want you to realize today, he has a reason for you. There is a purpose for you today. I think about Moses and how he made him. He was just so, how his mother took and helped him, and it ain't no doubt. My mama helped me, thought he's going to be a godly child. But Moses' mother helped him and said, saw he was a godly child. She knew what the Pharaoh had said, that those children should be killed. She took, made a little ark, floated him out there. That was a purpose for Moses. Moses and God ended up taking the Pharaoh's daughter and using her to come and get Moses' mother to raise the child. I want you to know that man was to deliver the children of God's children out of bondage. That was a purpose for Moses. You say, well, I'm not Moses, and neither am I. I want you to realize Moses said, I can't speak. That was a very excuse. I said, Lord, I can't read. I can't talk. People's made fun of me all my life. You ought to have to stand up in front of a classroom and try to read something when you can't read nothing. And you look out there in front of a bunch of kids and you're there trying to read and you know what's coming. Everybody's fixing to make fun of you. They're all going to start laughing when you start trying. I know what that's like. And then I'm thinking I'm going to have to get up in front of people and read, try to read the Word of God. And they're all going to be snickering, saying, look at him up there thinking he's a preacher. Listen to me. God can help you. Amen. He helped Moses. Amen. He had a brother that could speak. I want you to realize he gave me a wife that had a purpose. I see pastors' wives sitting out here among us today. Children, little girls that's got a purpose that'll be there for a husband someday that can go out to preach the Word of God. I see that in you. A little boy named David that didn't fit in. His brothers didn't care nothing about him being around. And then I want you to know, a little boy named Joshua didn't fit in with his family. God had a purpose for him. I want you to realize he has a purpose for you today. A little girl named Esther that was raised up in a time that there come a time for her to go to the kingdom. I want you to know it's a purpose. David said, is there not a cause? Is there not a purpose? Is there not a reason for this? The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 1 and 15, if I can get turned over to it. But when it pleased God, who had separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathens. And immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood and said, I want you to know, it said, it separated him from his mother's womb and called him. He knew what he was going to be before he ever made him. He knowed about you, buddy. He knowed about you. He knowed about you. And you. Yes, Chloe. He knew about you. He knew about Andy. Manny. He knew about y'all. He knew the things you was going to have to go through and how tough it's going to be. The Apostle Paul, he didn't do it for money. Can you imagine? Oh, he didn't take nothing with him. He was a tent maker. He tried to still make a living. He wouldn't get nothing out of this. Absolutely nothing. All he knew was he was going to die for the work he had to do. But yet this man was willing to do it. There was a purpose for him. He uses all kinds of things to prepare us. Paul, he said unto Gamaliel, he knew the word of God well as anybody, but didn't know how to use it, didn't know the purpose of it. The purpose was out there, had been there, had not died, resurrected, and sent it to heaven, and he was still fighting against it. But Jesus saw purpose in a man that was out pursuing and killing the ones that were doing his cause. When I owned my call to preach, everybody in the country said, not Jeff Likens. And trust me, when he called me that night at Rocky Mountain, sitting back there, that was the very thing I said too, not me, Lord. I got up and went out and I run for 8 years. I could use that 8 years of running and trying to learn the word of God and studying, trying to prepare myself, but I was bound and determined I was not going to do what he'd have me to do. But just like that prodigal son, I finally found a place that I had nowhere else to go but him. And I had to turn to him. You don't have to do that. You don't have to get to the place you're just beat down before you're willing to do what he'd have you to do. I feel like we got people here today that's been called to preach that ain't doing their job. I feel like we have people here today that maybe need to unite with this church that ain't been willing, scared to death to do it, afraid of man and what man might do and all these things. Quit worrying about that. He's got a purpose for you right here. We're fixing to start a revival. And I want you to know, look around you. There's lost people all around us. And he's got a reason for everyone that's here today. This is not an accident. If you're out there in a parking lot, there's a reason you're still here today. You're to hear something that he has to say to you. Oh, he separated Paul from his mother's womb. What? For the purpose. He brought him down on the road to Damascus. He said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, you can fight against him. You can fight against him. But sooner or later, he will bring you down also. There's a purpose for you. The purpose for every one of us. You know how he made man? Where he could show love. Where he could show mercy. Where he could show grace. And he wanted somebody to love him. He didn't make us into robots. He could make us ready to where we had to love him. But what would it be like if Beverly just had to love you? And she didn't have no choice, and we got home and ate it. You walked in, and she says, Randy, I love you. He wanted somebody to love him. He wanted somebody to worship him. He wanted a way to receive honor and glory. So he made a man with a purpose that we would serve him, that we would love him, that we would show up at Hilltop Missionary Baptist Church on a Sunday morning and listen to a crying preacher trying to tell you there's a reason for you today. You're not just a drop in the bucket. You're something special to him. You're wonderfully and fearfully made. There was a man named John the Baptist. In the first chapter of Luke, the 13th verse, it said, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias,
for thy prayer has been heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and he shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many children of Israel shall turn unto the Lord their God. God made this man a John the Baptist. He named him John, and he gave him the name Baptist. And I want you to realize he had a purpose. You're no different than John the Baptist. Yeah, we may not be written into the Word of God, but John was no more special than you. He has a purpose for you too. And I want you to realize that today. He is no respecter of man. John's purpose was to preach of the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was to baptize those that got saved, preparing a material for the Lord's church. And you know what else his purpose was? Was to baptize our Lord himself. You say, well, he wasn't special. Yes, he was special, but so are you. Amen. You may not ever do that. That was too. I said, his mother said, can my son sit by your right side? He said, can they drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized of the baptism I baptized? And she said, they said they could. And she said, you will. And I want you to know, one of them spent his life on the Isle of Patmos, and the other was killed by a sword. Amen. Amen. There was a purpose for him. So as I was being picked on as a child, not fitting in, my daddy having to whoop me every morning. My daddy worked at night. He worked hard. He tried to farm and work at night. He worked at a job down there at Scottsville. Gee, he'd come home about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I didn't want to go to school. Daddy'd get up every morning, whoop me, make me get on the bus. Now, I'm not telling you this to make you feel sorry for me or anything. I go on that bus one time as a senior, and I think I was in the 4th or 5th grade. He had his senior ring, and he was sitting behind me. And he turned that senior ring over, and he started hitting me in the back of the head like that. I never said a word. I never said stop. I never turned around. Hit him. He hit me the whole time to school, over and over. And we drove up at school, blood was running down my face. And I'd say, God, why am I here? Nobody likes me. Why do you even have me here? Do you ever feel that way? What is my purpose in all this? Then he saved me when I was 14 years old. Then at 16, he gave me a bride. Beautiful. I mean, honey, he didn't give me one. He went out there and got the best. And give her to me. And boy, you talking about walking around, my chest swelled up in. Hey, boys, how's it going for you? Got your girlfriend, do you? Me and her riding in the Datsun B2T. There was a reason for her. Because he had a purpose for me. She wasn't only pretty, she was really smart. And she was patient. He called me to preach. I run for 8 years. watching her turn blue in a hospital now in Nashville, I got willing to do what he'd have me to do. I said, Lord, I need her. Let me keep her, Lord. I'll try. And boy, he gave her breath back. So when he lay in bed at night, I went home and called a preacher, scared to death, couldn't read. We lay in bed at night, and I'd wake her up all through the night, and she'd work in rural wise around. She was a purpose for her. And I'd say, what's this word? And she'd tell me the word. And I'd read a little further by the time she'd get to sleep, and I'd say, I'm sorry, but what's this word? She'd tell me the word. I stand in front of you today as your pastor for 18 years. A man that couldn't read. A man that couldn't stand up in front of people. A man that was picked on, bullied, pushed around. A man that didn't have a girlfriend till he met her. A man that didn't have nothing going his way. But God had a purpose. He separated me from my mother's womb. He knew me before he ever formed me. He knew David. He knew Moses. He knew Jacob. He knew Joseph. He knew Paul. He knew Peter. He knew John. He knew Samantha. He knew Teresa. He knew Connie. He knew Margaret. And listen to me, children, you're getting picked on today and you don't fit in that word. He knows you. And Esther, that's my wife's favorite book. I'm just going to read this. I ain't going to preach on Esther, but we'll read that. That come to me this morning. He told her uncle, Mordecai, told her to send a message to her, telling her she needed to go in front of the king for Israel, for the Jews. And she knew if she went in front of him without him calling her, he would kill her. But he told her, he said, and when thou knowest whether, and who knoweth whether thou art come unto the kingdom for such time as this. So there was a purpose for her, little girls. There was a purpose for Ruth. I want you to know that. Ruth was a Gentile woman, come from a bad, bad situation. One that nobody would have nothing to do with. And when she went to Boaz, she said, why would you even have anything to do with me? You should be looking down on me. Why would you have anything to do with me? I thought the same thing about her. Why would you have anything to do with me? And I think about it about now. And when he saved my soul, why in the world would you have something to do with something like me? Because he is no respecter of person. We've got a revival this week, and you say, well, I just don't know what my part in this is going to be. I don't feel like I got no part in this. You got a purpose. You can sit there and try to tell yourself you don't. But you got a purpose. Your purpose may be to pray. Your purpose may be to testify. Your purpose may be to preach. Your purpose may be to join the church. I don't know what God has for you to do. But I can tell you this, you need to be willing to do what he'd have you to do. I'll finish with this one. Jeremiah, then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, listen, what they say is what I've been telling you. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. And listen, here's what Jeremiah said. Then said I, Ah, Lord God. And it's got one of them prophecy things. I reckon that means you're excited about it. He said, Ah, Lord God. Behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said to me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go, and all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And that was exactly what I was afraid of. I don't fear your faces no more. I don't. Because I know he'll be with me. I know he will help me. He's never let me down. And he will not, as long as I humble myself and ask him. But the very thing that I didn't even know it said that for years, but when I read that, that's how I felt when he called me. I can't stand up in front of people, Lord. I can't speak. I can't read. I can't do this. I want you to know he does not call the qualified. He qualifies who he calls. Many are called, but few are chosen. So you're called according to his purpose. So what is his purpose for you? What is his purpose for you? To trust in him, to be saved. And then be a witness to him. That you might be a light to a lost and dying world. Brother Larry quoted this morning. Peter and John went up to the temple to pray at the hour of prayer. The gate called Beautiful. They walked up through there. There laid a beggar. Begging, he'd laid there no telling how many times. And he just simply said, Silver and gold have I not, but what I have I freely give unto thee. What he had was a purpose. You have a purpose. You're somebody. God, you're somebody. You're somebody special. He loves you so much that he made you. What your purpose is, I have no clue. I'm sorry, Sam, if you thought I was putting something on you, you wasn't ready for. When I look at you boys sitting over here, I see a purpose. Is there not a cause? Don't y'all ever turn back. Don't quit. Don't give up. You go until you fulfill his purpose in your life. Church, he has a purpose for Hilltop. She was born in 1983, one of the youngest churches in Macon County. He knew about her before anyone ever had an old house that was falling down. He knew about her. He knew you was going to have to tear that wall out. He knew you was going to have to tear this wall out. He has a purpose for Hilltop Church. And that purpose is that we would be the light of the world. That we would give him honor and glory. That we'd be a witness unto him in all the world. That we would support the missionaries, which you do. You would support your pastor, which you do. You would witness and say, Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, which you do.
So if you're the least one here that never the Lord never moves upon to say anything, you still have a purpose. You're still filling your seat. You're still coming and praying. You're still doing your part. And you say, well, I'm old. Look at me, Brother Jeff, I'm old. I'm telling you, I was a late bloomer. He come into the vineyard early in the morning. Some of them went to work early in the morning. I believe it was about 6 o'clock in the morning, the first hour of the day. He come. Then he come back at midday and some more went to work. And then I want you to know the last hour, 5 o'clock in the day, there were some still went to work. I feel like I'm a 5 o'clocker that waited until the end of the day to go to work. But you know what he turned around and done? He paid that boy that worked an hour just as well as he did the one that labored all day. So you may be here old today and still ain't figured out your purpose. Ask him, and he'll let you know. Go to work. It was mentioned this morning. You know how you serve him? By serving one another. You went down to the prison. Thank you for what you're doing. When I was in prison, you came unto me. When I was sick, you came unto me. When I was hungry, you fed me. And as much as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you have did it unto me. You have a purpose. So he separated Jeremiah from his mother's womb. He separated John the Baptist from his mother's womb. He separated Paul from his mother's womb. You was fearfully, wonderfully made, just like David. He made Adam, and he made Eve. He made Sean, and he made Brianna. And he made this sweet little baby. And brother, she's got a purpose. She could be her Esther. She could be the one that goes before. We don't know. One thing, you're going to sing. And part of your purpose, sweetheart, you're going to sing. I believe I know that much. I believe I know that much. Dallas is going to sing. My purpose was not to sing. My purpose was to stand up here and tell you about a lot of stuff that I wish nobody ever knew about. I wish nobody ever knew that I was a grown man that couldn't read. I just so nobody never known about it. I was 16 years old before I had a girlfriend. I just so nobody had to know that I worried the life out of my wife, her trying to show me what words was. I'd soon nobody never known about. I had an American Standard Bible, and that's what I was fixing to go preach in until I had a good friend come up to me and say, Bud, come over to the house in a little while. I got something for you. Never said you dummy or anything like that. You got the wrong Bible. He just gave me a Bible. Or I wouldn't make a fool of myself. Well, the church wouldn't have to set me down and talk to me. You know, if that happened, that might have been the end of it. I might have just walked out and just said, it ain't no different.
Be careful how you talk to people. When that young preacher, you take him outside, you talk to him, you be careful what you say. There's a purpose for him. That one you're talking to may be the very one that preaches the gospel to your child, your grandbaby. And what you say to him may keep him from ever preaching again. And that little girl that you make fun of, she may be the one that someday God has a purpose of setting up here playing that piano.
Yeah, amen.
There's a purpose. There's a reason. And all things work for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. How much good did the Apostle Paul do? I told you a while ago, I hope he don't mind me saying this. I've said it before. I love Brother Barron. Y'all know that. But when Lisa come up there at American Greens, we was working together, and she come up there and said, "Barry, I want this call to preach." And I thought, what the world? "Barry Bronner?" And she said, "Yeah, he on this call to preach." I said, "Okay." When Paul got to Jerusalem, they said, "Not Saul."
Yeah, amen.
"Not him. Yeah. You're crazy if you think we're going to take him in amongst us." And there was one named Barnabas.
Amen. Yeah.
Just stood up and said, "I've heard him, people.
Amen. Yeah.
He's a man of God. He preaches Jesus." And upon his testimony or his recommendation,
yeah,
they took him into Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So when everybody said, and they said it, I heard some of them say it, he's done gone. He was a deacon at Rocky Mountain. I won't say his name. He told me years later, and I still ain't made it. Ship can still sing. He told me, he said, "When you're on your call to preach that day," he said, "I sat back there and I thought, we'll see how long this lasts." I mean, why wouldn't you think that? I had never done nothing to prove them different. I'd just sooner not tell you that. But I tell you that because I want to be a help to you.
Amen.
If the Apostle Paul, God could use him, a murderer, if he could use a man like Moses that couldn't speak, if he could use a woman named Esther, if he could use a woman named Ruth, who was a Gentile that come from a terrible situation, he can use you too. If he can use Jeff Likens, he can use you. You got a purpose.
Amen.
That's my message, Brother Sean. You may say this is the craziest sermon I've ever heard for starting a revival. I believe we'll all find our purpose this week and be willing to do it. What did he say? He said, "I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision." I was disobedient, but I've tried my best not since I've owned my call to be disobedient. Be obedient to what your purpose is,
amen,
and you'll be blessed.
Amen.